You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We continue where we left off. Let's hear who we have at the table, players and characters. Han, will you begin?
Hello, I'm Hannah playing Winnie Hemlock.
Brennan?
I'm Brennan, I'm playing Arcos Gerard.
And Rob?
I'm Rob playing Magnus Vale, Master of Day and Night, and now Apprentice Magical Engine Room Guy.
And I am Amelia Somm, your GM. And you all, by now, have been traveling for a couple weeks on the high seas. You embarked on rough waters. They've only gotten worse. As when you started, you were able to sail on the surface, looking out at the waves of the ocean, and you found a comfort being able to go topside, stand on the deck, and look out, as rocky as it might be, as the storm grows on the horizon. You spend a lot of your time under the surface now. While the underside of the surface is still tumultuous, it is less so than being tossed about on the surface of the waves. And Julian has specifically found himself to be incredibly vulnerable to seasickness. So has probably been going to Arcos for whatever spell is the equivalent of Dramamine.
I'm gonna hit him with that, with the magical Dramamine, and just be like,
there, young one. I must say, it's a little interesting. You can hop planes, but a submarine is your limit.
There's not as much rocking back and forth.
Fair enough. I'll just put my hand on his head and utter some words.
Just be careful. Don't breathe in too much or you'll be fast asleep for like a long time.
Wait, how much is too much?
Oh shit, there he goes.
Yeah, and Julian very gently passes out into Arcos and takes naps, probably for the best.
I'm going to just pick him up and try and find Magnus real quick.
Yeah, Magnus, where are you at any given time?
Magnus, being the ADHD wizard that he is, once he was shown the engine room, he and that this was going to be a long journey, he very quickly completely committed to his role as like the engine maintenance wizard. So he has taken off his wizard's like heavy jacket, and he has found somewhere another pair of overalls and is wearing like an oil stained like gray sailor shirt underneath his overalls. And
how
he has,
tall is Magnus?
Magnus, I think he's 6 foot.
Yeah, I would say that they're a little bit of, they're a little high water on you.
Well, high water.
The overalls, because you're taller than Captain.
Right, yeah. So I think like maybe he doesn't like do the straps fully. He just kind of like has found a way to sit like, well.
Well, like I would say, because their overalls, like the straps are fine. I'm just saying they come up a little higher on your calf than
regular.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely like has some like wizard sock poking out. And is like has taken to like wearing like goggles on his head while he's looking at all the magical instruments, partly just to shield his own eyes from the visual noise of looking at all this nonsense that is this engine room. But yeah, I like to think that he's getting really familiar with the magic in there so that he could better repair it and maybe reverse engineer it if something goes wrong down the line.
Yeah, and while there hasn't been anything that has warranted an outright like repair or malfunction, it does require quite a bit of maintenance, and the captain didn't exactly tell you that, but you noticed like a rune that was glowing suddenly go out, and then other things started getting more on the frit, so you had to either recast magic into that rune or modify the rune or shape like things like that that are just constant in order to keep this engine running, which you don't fully understand it, but you understand the shape of it.
Yeah. I'm doing my best. There's a lot of slapshot magic.
It hasn't overheated, and the captain hasn't, it seems happy with how you've been doing it. It's like, yep, this is how it goes. You just every time, you know, you got to just top off the oil. Don't worry about where it goes. Just top it off.
Skipper, I'm pretty sure this oil tank just goes directly into the bathroom. I don't understand how this is supposed to help anything.
Look, all I'm saying is if you don't do that, it starts going on the fritz, so you just have to keep it going.
And this dial here, I can't make
heads
or tails.
Don't touch the dial.
Okay, is it supposed to freak out and go back and forth like that? Is it measuring
something?
That means
it's working. Okay. It is measuring something. I haven't quite figured it out, so let me know if you do.
But when you installed it, surely you must have... Never mind, that was a stupid question.
Well, this one actually kind of grew on its own.
Grew? Okay. See, I didn't know that these things grew. Okay, so that makes...
No, Atoros kind of has a life about her.
A machine spirit. Can she hear us now?
Yeah, she hears everything that happens on the ship.
Okay, so those things I said earlier, I didn't mean them. Anyway, the things about Arcos I meant, but everything else was just... I'll see to it that things stay running.
All right. And he salutes you.
Magnus, gives a sloppy salute back.
You all have noticed that Captain spends a lot of his time when not actively steering, which unless either one of you wants to do it, he is taken to teaching Craig how to keep the ship steady, is mostly just going around and repairing leaks, problems, other things around the ship all the time. but Argos, if you want to head down to Magnus.
I feel it was going to like just drop off Julian on Magnus and just see that whole thing unfold, like peeking in the doorway and be like, best not to bother him. Go back upstairs and then just like strap him in with whatever makeshift seat belt Artorias has. Like, pat his little head.
Yeah. There aren't actually like, there aren't seat belts on this ship. We don't need that. You guys have probably been sleeping in hammocks that have been suspended.
Awesome.
And so you can kind of fasten the hammock closed, which you guys typically do since, Craig doesn't really know how to steer a ship. So sometimes things get a little jostly. And also sometimes Captain insists on doing a barrel roll, as he puts it. And so it's usually best if you can situate yourself snug inside the hammock when you're sleeping, because you just never know.
That's funny.
But yeah. You guys have been going for a few weeks. You have whatever provisions you bought. There always seems to be enough food every time you open the stores. It's nothing too fancy, but there's always fresh fish. It's like cleaned, it's ready to be prepared. You can't have open flame on the ship, but you can do heating magic and those sorts of things in order to be able to cook it.
Yeah, I think Winnie has probably taken it upon herself to be the chef for everyone. There's not much else to do. So I think, yeah, she prepares 3 squares every day for everyone. Yeah.
There is always just enough food whenever you open the storage containers for preparing your next meal. I think the first time when you started to like run low on your own provisions, you were a little nervous, and then Captain didn't seem to worry about it.
Great.
Well, see, now I'm just like thinking about Magnus being a part of the ship and like how he starts becoming superstitious about it. Like, I think that he like goes over to the food container every once in a while as part of his duties and is like, please bring us more food. And he like taps it and like takes a spanner and just like tightens a few bolts every once in a while and just kind of like drizzles some like magic dust over it.
Magnus, absolutely. You doing all right?
The ship is alive. It has a soul, Winnie, and she's going to lead us to our destiny. But yes, I'm doing quite well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing just fine. Have you gotten a lot of rest recently?
Magnus, like, takes off his goggles, and you see there's just, like, deep bags under his eyes. Rest? No, there is no resting. There is only the sea. But it has been quite a while since I've taken a nap.
I think Winnie's going to make him a cup of sleepy time tea. Not tell him it's sleepy time tea. Just preparing it. How about you have a nice cup of tea?
Oh, thank you.
When was the last time you had a drink?
Yes, I was feeling a bit parched. Thank you very much. Where is that hammock? I put that somewhere.
It's right around the corner.
Yes.
See you guys in the morning.
Good night.
You get the hammock underneath Julian's, and so you're both just like in your little bunk hammock, sleeping. Winnie, you hear Askarath, who, to keep herself busy, has been alternating. Askarath, however, has spent a lot of time tending to graves, so spends a lot of time, knows how to keep them brain occupied when on their own. So in addition to meditating, takes up some of the cleaning responsibilities and some of the maintenance behind the captain. But as Magnus sort of heads off to sleep, Askarath tells you, Winnie, you know, he's right.
Who's right about what?
Magnus? Yeah, there's some kind of life in this ship.
You know, I think there's a lot of power in a name. So I feel like most named vessels probably have at least something stirring in them. But do you feel something?
Yeah. I've been nothing this big. I've never been to the ocean, anything bigger than a river. But no, there's something. I don't really know how to explain it, but doesn't feel quite alive, but it's there.
Hoping she likes us.
I think she does.
I try to be respectful. Try to clean whatever I use and put it back in its rightful place.
Well, I don't think she'd taken us this far if she didn't.
True. You're very right. How are you feeling being underwater for this long?
Feeling a little bit of cabin fever, if I'm being honest. It's not something I'm used to, and it's been dangerous, but this definitely feels lonely.
Yeah, I'm glad we have you guys here this time. This is reminding me a lot of Ulfair. Just a little bit more confined. With a little bit more direction. Not much, but some, at least.
Yeah, you ever look out the windows?
Every now and then.
It's mostly, you know, pitch, except for some of the lights on the ship when they're working. But I've seen glimpses of massive sea creatures. Like I've never seen. I'm not sure if they're really there or if I'm just letting my imagination run away with me. But it's interesting that things so big can have their whole lives live and die. We aren't even anything to them.
Yeah, living down here in the dark, too. Scary thought.
How are you holding up?
I'm good. I didn't realize it was going to be this long of a trip, but that's kind of the nature of this whole thing. I'm just, I feel like we're almost done, you know? I feel like this might be it. So I just kind of keep holding on to that little glimpse on the horizon.
Yeah.
Would you like a snack? I can make you a snack.
I'd love a snack.
Winnie makes her a snack. Her favorite snack, whatever that may be.
Yeah. I think at some point in the time when you've been traveling, you've made these little apple turnovers. And Askarat specifically likes it when you make the really tiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
They insist it's because the filling to pastry ratio is better, but they just like the really cute tiny ones.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, I mean, you've been at the mercy of whatever is in the storeroom, and like fresh fruit typically hasn't come up. Like you guys have been eating a lot of like fish and seal and things like that. But when you go to open the cabinet, you see several fresh, perfectly ripe apples.
All right. Yeah, I think we're in business. And I give the wall a pat, I guess. I just kind of, thanks.
Yeah.
That might be, if we have still a lot of time to go, that might be something that Winnie might try to, what's the word? Engineer, like a garden, something with like fresh herbs and spices. If she can like make a simulated,
like get
sun.
Like an arcane, like a magical equivalent of a grow light.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So let's say you've been traveling for about a little over 2 weeks. You can kind of get that started easy enough between Magnus knowing everything Magnus knows, Arcos' whole domain being light and darkness, and the captain kind of having... And the more you've gotten to know it, it is a very... unique symbiotic relationship that the captain has with this ship, mm-hmm. and like just knowing how to make things that we need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to set up a small little herb garden. Just amazing. A couple things. Just like four, yeah. Five maybe. And you keep those going. You're able to, via Magnus, send letters to Avi talking about the ocean and those sorts of things. So
not say how scary it is or how crushing it is or how soulless it is down here.
Yeah.
Leaving all that out.
Yeah. Just probably making up some things like, oh, we saw a cool fish the other day.
We
like
saw
embellishing
a whale
some details. Yeah.
Swimming next to us on the ship. It waved hello.
It didn't at all look like a 400-foot eldritch monstrosity.
1,000 eyes, yeah.
Meanwhile, Magnus is sending the most unhinged messages to her and, like, Engine rooms log day 3.
Wait, can you also be sending that to all of the Arcanaeus? Because
yeah.
I think they would enjoy that too.
Yeah, it's a chain email. Yeah.
Jasper's like, please remove me from this list.
Reply all. log from Magnus. That's fucking funny.
You can try to unsubscribe from the Raven delivery system, but it never works. It's a completely broken link.
I feel like this is a thing that happens between you and Jasper specifically, because you just like to send out so much dumb shit, and Jasper is like, I just need you to only do it when it's an emergency. Like, I will come when you call, but I need you to do that. And you're like, absolutely won't happen again. And then it happens again.
I just miss my boy. I want him to call me. So I send him junk mail.
Yeah.
Magnus the Boomer Wizard sending Facebook links that are never opened to show he cares.
But you all travel. It is boring as hell. You have each other's company. And compared to some of the other journeys you've had to take, this is, like, nice. It's weird, and you're in sort of eldritch darkness, and the sad is probably starting to kick in, but you all have each other, you're in good spirits, and it has been pretty uneventful. Craig has been steering with a bit more purpose, probably after the first 2 weeks. You mentioned just heading eastward, just to kind of get to the ocean, the deep sea, and then figure it out, but seems to be guiding you all toward something. At one point, when the captain is at the wheel, he says, I know it's been a while, but I think we're going to need to surface.
Surface? For what purpose, Captain?
I can't quite explain it, but she wants to go up.
I trust her.
Yeah, the pedometer has been on the fritz. I think she's getting a little restless.
The what? I mean, Magnus.
The pedometer, it controls the trim crystals that help with buoyancy. It's also connected to the microwave. Don't worry about it.
Magnus, you and the ship have quite a lot in common, you know that?
Did you not listen to the Magnus log number 153? It's all in there.
I had the worst mistake. I accidentally hit the mute button every time that I'm trying to listen. I haven't listened to them in weeks.
I think Winnie listens to them as podcasts while she's cooking. So yeah. I think she gets all the information.
Yeah.
Just listening to Magnus's insane rambling as he talks to the ship and gets it to work.
It's funny. I think it's comedic for her.
Also, I was just giggling at the idea that, like, you guys are getting ravens inside the submarine, like, from, like, 10 feet away in, like, a slightly different room.
Or maybe we just hear you, from the other room. We just hear you through the walls.
Julian hates it.
Julian's been trying to find a way to block it. Do not send me emails from this sender.
Mark as spam.
Yeah, you all, secure. You are very deep under the surface, to the point where none of you actually really can tell. Magnus, because you were probably paying attention as you've been monitoring whatever the engine is, all the various things it tells you, which is that sea level on this part of the world is notably higher than it is on the other side, which is fascinating. And this ocean also extends far, far deeper beneath the surface. And you begin to ascend upward for the first time in a while. It takes a long time, so your ears can adjust. They're still popping Julian is having a bad time as his stomach tries to adjust to the rapid change in pressure. And you find yourself on the surface being buoyed by the waves of a very choppy sea. And if you all go up to the first level, not outside, but the first level, I'd like everyone to make a notice check.
Hell yeah.
All right. Yikes.
Explodes. That's not a real roll. 15.
And so 4.
I got an 18.
Okay. Arcos with the 4. That's a success.
I'm tending to Julian. I'm a bit distracted.
Yeah. I mean, a 4 is still a success. Right. as you look out, you see it's clear that you're on the surface, and it's clear that the waves are much, much higher here than anything you have seen in your entire life.
Cool.
Like the rogue 100-foot waves, that's just what's happening here.
Awesome.
Magnus and Winnie, you immediately notice as you rise to the surface, you're being bobbed, right? It's not flat. But after a while, you can kind of adjust. And even though you can't see the horizon, you realize you're sort of being lifted at an angle. That now that you are on the surface of the water, it seems to be rising higher and higher still. You've been traveling beneath the waves low enough that a lot of the surface movement hasn't been bothering you. And as you look and you pay attention to this angle, you head toward the front of the ship. And you see that you are on, you're moving laterally as the edges of the water begin to rise. And you look out and see a whirlpool miles and miles in diameter. And as you sit on the surface, slowly working your way in a spiral toward the center, the size of this, when I say slowly, I mean, you're moving pretty quickly. It is massive. It is maybe the size of a city or a small town. You don't know how long it's been here, but you feel it carrying you toward the center. And in the very center, above it like a hurricane, the sky is open and clear, and the water beneath it is pitch.
Should we be freaking out? This seems like a good moment to freak out a little bit, right? I ask Magnus.
Magnus is probably not a bright mind. Day 24. We found the eye of the ocean, swirling like a massive vortex. Skipper, are we going to be able to survive this?
I should have asked him first.
Sends off a raven.
Looking toward it and holding the wheel, which turns the rudder of the ship, and says, I don't know.
The spot in the center, the dark water. It's calm if we can get there.
Yeah.
Is a storm always here? Or has it, do you know, Has it just popped up in the past few?
I've never been here.
Right. Should have figured.
No way of knowing? I mean, I've heard those who have ventured out any part of these seas usually hunt in monsters. Never mentioned anything like this, but they've mentioned Eternal Storm, so.
Magnus is going to grab Craig and, like point him facing the whirlpool and say, "Are you feeling anything, lad?"
Magnus, he's not an instrument.
Shh, on this ship he might be.
Yeah, it's like frustration, I guess.
Interesting. The ocean certainly looks a bit pent up.
I think there's something, but it's deep, deep below us.
Well, Skipper, if we can't go through it, maybe we could go under this mess?
Skipper looks more distant than you have. Sorry, he's not Skipper. I can't call him Skipper. Captain, don't catch me slipping up. the captain looks more distant than you have seen him throughout this journey at all. And I don't think he responds to you in that moment. He's just sort of looking out and has his hand kind of resting on a part of the ship.
Skipper, come back to us now. Huh? This is the adventure that you wanted, right?
Right. Yes. Well, you're looking for a lost city, lost continent, lost something.
Lost anything, really. We'll take what we can get. And what's left, even.
Whatever it is under this whirlpool.
I reckon we ride it out, see where it wants to take us.
That's a man. Ride it out, indeed. Batten down the hatches, or whatever it is you say around here.
Well, all the hatches should be battened down because we're a submarine.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Puts the goggles back over his eyes. Goes back inside.
Yeah. You begin. The captain pretty quickly discovers that there's not a way to really speed this process up, kind of cutting at a diagonal occasionally. But it pulls you further and further into the whirlpool. At the rate you're going, could be several hours. As you get closer to it, can I get another notice check from whoever is trying to keep an eye out on any changes?
Yeah, sure. I'll do a notice check, even though Rob's probably going to get 10 more than me. Well, I did just roll double explosions. So.
And I rolled a 4, so it's all you, buddy.
8!
I got 18.
That eagle eye is insane.
Also, Rob, I mean, Magnus is probably spending some time just keeping up with the engine and the circumstances as well.
Yeah.
Winnie, as you look out toward what you thought was less, you know, calmer seas in the center of that eye, it is so hard to tell how big it actually is. I think at first you thought maybe this was, I don't know, a few hundred yards, or like maybe that's a mile, maybe it's like 8 feet. It's so hard to gauge distance even at the rate you've been moving. You see, it is not a It is not a calm space. The air above it is calm. It's like a drain going straight down.
You know, hold on, let me look at my spells really quick. So my immediate thought is like, people can sometimes get drains to move faster whenever they do this with the water, you know? But and I'm looking at my elemental manipulation spell, and it's like, conjure a quart of water. Like, that's going to fucking help anything.
A quart?
Yeah. Do you want to try casting it to see what happens?
Sure. I might ask for Magnus's help to do that, because I think he has that spell as well.
Yeah.
I think Winnie's going to come to you. Magnus, you know that thing that happens when people need drains to drain faster? They kind of move their hand around the water to make more of a vortex.
Yeah, Magnus is like fiddling with some dials and like screwing some things. Yes, of course, yes.
And you have elemental manipulation abilities, right?
Magnus kind of looks at her and says, yes, I can move elements around to a degree.
Maybe we try that with our combined abilities, just to kind of make this move faster and also maybe take a little bit of control over the situation.
Are you proposing that we create a new vortex with our ship, or are you saying that we
We speed up the vortex to make the water. It's like a drain, right? Like the it's whirlpooling. I noticed that it's very drain-like in the middle of it all. So I feel like we might be able to speed it up with our combined abilities. Maybe. I don't know. Like, this is a very strong spell for me, but I feel like if we could help each other out, maybe something could happen.
Magnus kind of, like, takes off his goggles and looks at you, like, a little bit like a professor looking at a student that just proposed something, like, super, like, insane. He says, do you know how many gallons of water are in just this part of the ocean?
I know. It's a long shot, but if anyone could do it, it would be you and or me.
You and or me.
Love that confidence. We might be the chosen one.
So, okay, let me just like, so 2 power points for elemental manipulation. I have 18 left. If I wanted to, like, upcast this by a factor of 9 and burn all of my power points, I could...
Yeah, elemental manipulation is 1 point. I have 10 power points.
So. I have 18 left. It's supposed to allow minor manipulation of basic elements.
Of
normally,
one
like...
quart of water. But, for story reasons, it could work.
Because
we have an amazing GM, it could work.
I think, like, what Magnus thinks is that if to attempt this, I would need basically all 3 of us to combine all of our magic to allow him to, like, majorly manipulate this much water.
Sounds like a challenge to me.
You want to all use up all your power points on this?
Yep, I'll burn them. Well, can I do? Would it make a difference if I did it all at once, just in case somebody gets hurt?
Because I also have a sneaking suspicion that if we don't do something, we might be stuck in this world. That's just me being paranoid, but like, I don't know. I feel like I was given information, so I got to do something with it. You know?
Well,
fair.
Well. I'm down.
All right.
I'm down for you guys expending all your resources right now. I think that's fun.
Hey, I have a bow and arrow I can always use.
I have a mace.
Is there any shot of a long rest once we get like down to where we're trying to go?
Yeah, once you go down the drain into the bottom of the ocean, you want to take a nap? Maybe. I don't know. That's up to your judgment.
That sounds good to me.
This would be
I do, like, dead ass, though. you should, if you use all of your resources on this thing, you should expect to face consequences that like you will have the consequences of you no longer have resources and you're not guaranteed to get them back before you need them.
We do have resources. We just don't have magic resources.
So valid. It's true. And that's fair. But like, if you all spend all of your power points on this one specific effort, I mean, you will be rewarded for that because I wouldn't just be like, and it's bad now and you're dead. But you will have the consequences of you used up all of your resources here.
Are we down? Are we doing it?
I'm down.
You, Rob, you're the one where magic matters most to you. So like,
it is also there any way that like, I mean, like, is this going to be an all or nothing thing, or like, could I theoretically burn all of mine and they hold like half of theirs back?
I would say it needs to be all or nothing per person.
Okay.
So like, if Magnus wanted to sit out and Winnie wanted to give everything versus Arcos giving everything, and like, as long as each one of you commits or does not, we're kind of going beyond the rules as written here.
Oh, for sure.
You don't say.
This game is made for that, though.
So the way I'm essentially doing this is, if your character wants to give everything, you can.
Magnus would do it because I don't have any like healing spells. So like, I'll become useless in combat.
I don't either.
But that's like the biggest thing for me, is like my really only damage source is gone. So I will be useless or have to rely upon my apprentice to protect me.
Yeah, most of my spells are like pretty like support spells, like, you know, just kind of like battlefield stuff, not like actual damage stuff. So like, I'm good with it too.
I think I will spare 3 for a healing spell.
It's either all or nothing.
All or nothing. Say,
I think Winnie and Magnus should do it.
All right, I was like,
because we do kind of need you for healing.
Okay. I'll stay out of this one.
You are, the reasoning behind this is so far beyond the use of this spell within theme of this world. You can always push yourself farther. You are borrowing from something else. Right. You can't just kind of halfway kind of push yourself beyond your limits.
Right, right.
Okay, well, if we want to do this, we'll have to do it right.
Okay, so Magnus's first magical teacher, he like met in a bog, basically. He was a magical shaman named Talon, who his style of magic was
bog like, magic.
Yeah, like druidic, more like nature oriented. He did a lot of ritual magic. So Magnus is going to get deep in his bag, and I think he's going to ask like Arcos to help him like clear an empty space where he can like draw a magical circle in the middle of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Magnus is going to like pull out of his like bags some like nature ingredients. So I think he has like bottled like rain that is like actively falling rain like in a glass jar, and like
bottled rain like, is awesome.
I think he has like an ever embering stick that is like constantly in a state of like half charred, half turning to ash, and a couple other nature based ingredients that he pulls out into this magical circle. And I think he like pulls Winnie aside and says,
if we do this, this is going to cost everything we have. We're going to be magically drained from this. Are you ready to commit that?
I've lived most of my life without magic. Most of my abilities stemmed from when I met Envy and started going to the old fair. I'm more worried about you. Are you ready to commit to that?
Magnus kind of like bobs his head back and forth and like looks at you seriously and and I think also like shoots a glance towards Julian, who's I'm sure throwing up in the corner.
Power is not given to us to hoard it. Power is given to us to use it.
I agree.
You'll have to do all the heavy lifting from here on out, Arcos. I'm not going to be of much use after this, except as a brain floating in a body that can't do magic. So I guess as useful as any random person, suppose.
You also hear Captain say, "Hey, what'd I tell you about casting spells on my ship?"
It's not on your ship. Like, we're going to be casting a spell, like, on the ship.
What
but it's
are
not,
you
like,
doing?
It's for the water. We're not touching the ship. We're just standing on the ship.
I understand that. I still have a vested interest in what's happening right now.
We're going to use magic to speed up the flow of the water so we're carried to the
it's
center
quicker.
It's
not moving fast enough for you.
Well, we're sitting ducks right now in the middle of tumultuous waters. The quicker we can get to some place that isn't the direct waves of the storm, safer we'll be.
I don't like it, but I won't stop you.
There's a sense of adventure.
We are in a little bit of a hurry. I think Winnie, at the same time, Magnus is preparing all of his ingredients and stuff. She no longer has her pin for her designated title, obviously, but I think she's going to hold on to the few artifacts that she has from Ulfair. One of the main ones being the brooch that Tanvi gave her. And then also their Envy and Winnie's wedding rings. I think those were also made in Ulfair. And then whatever weapons and other little doodads she has, just kind of holding them in her hands, feeling them, feeling that connection towards Ulfair, even though it has been dwindling since she lost her title. But hoping that the spirit of Ulfair can recognize that she has been making peace where she needs to make peace. She has been righting wrongs where she has needed to. And holding on to that emotion, hoping that that will guide her through this magic.
Okay. And you hold on. Oh, this is perfect. Okay. You're holding on to that spirit. Magnus, what does it look like for you to initiate the spell? I believe you're kind of casting it and Winnie's sort of conduiting it.
Yeah, so Magnus is like in the center of the circle is like a bowl of water, and Magnus is going to like kneel on the outside of the circle with the other ingredients placed around the outside, and he's going to start a prayer. He's going to like move his hand in a swirling direction over the bowl of water and say,
"Hear me, All-seer, Serpent Slayer, master of my fate and of my time and of my will. I call forth to you. Bring forth wind. Move the water. Send us down to the depths. Bring upon your magic and your might, and through me grant something unseen and impossible."
And Magnus is going to cast the spell to make the water spin faster.
You cast what, by all intents and purposes, is a pretty elementary spell. Elementary and elemental.
Yeah.
with such a ferocious dedication that comes from a lifetime of practice. As you begin casting, Magnus, you spent so long, past several weeks, managing this engine. And quite a bit of that is watching and monitoring and fixing the flow of different magical energies as they combine in this almost indecipherable web to keep things functioning. In this instance, as you and Winnie are both expending your own energy, in order to accomplish this, you need to draw from a much larger source. And you can see it clearly, just as clearly as you could see the engine itself. You can feel the wind moving through you and the water, and you look out at Winnie, and you don't see Winnie. You see an antenna. And you never noticed that aspect of Winnie before. You can likely see sorts of auras and things around people in general. But you're now noticing it, and it doesn't feel new. It feels like something that's been at the periphery that you didn't know to look for. And you begin to open a valve into a font of magic that should kill you. More magic than this spell has ever summoned. You are breaking some sort of seal and some sort of contract that is presently rewriting itself in the nature of reality. And you need to direct it. Do you direct it to Winnie?
So I'm like passing her the magic that I've accumulated, or?
Yeah, essentially you are pulling the magic from all of the sources and you are channeling it into something. You need a place to channel it into. Do you channel it through Winnie?
What? Is that the only like obvious option into Winnie, or as opposed to the bowl or like the ocean itself?
I think in like the way it's sort of describing is you are taking all of your effort to pull the magic together.
Gotcha.
That's all of your mind. And you could try and just push it toward the ocean, but you're not certain that you have the ability to both hold on and manage all of this magic and then also so clearly direct it into moving the ship or moving the water and moving the air all at the same time. And this is all happening in like a split second. So just in an instinct, as you have opened these floodgates that only you can see and feel, and you look and, you know, you're inside the submarine, but you're also in this sort of liminal space of magic where everyone's life force is a sort of being, and you look toward Winnie's and it is a kind of antenna, it feels like. In that split second, do you channel all of this magic, more than you have ever held in your life, into Winnie?
Oh, I hope this doesn't fry her brain. Yeah, I think I have to.
And in that split second, you funnel it toward her. And Winnie, it feels like being slammed into concrete. As you fall over, it feels like that, because that's the same feeling it is to hit water from a far enough height. And then it's all around you, and your mind can't process the thoughts. Magnus, you are blinded in every sense, not permanently, don't worry, but like in the moment, in every sense by the magic that you are conducting. You are not aware of anything happening to you or around you. You are aware of the magic is here and it is going there, and that is your entire being for this moment. Arcos, as you're watching this, and when he falls, you see her melt into water and gas and disappear. And Winnie, you don't see any of this. because you are feeling everything so deeply. You have barely had the presence of mind to hold a memory. But weeks ago, feels like only a moment. And you had a body that was looking out at the sky and thinking you were given feelings to experience that were not your own. And you have those feelings now, and they're not your own, but they are. And you don't have a body, but you do. And you feel yourself in the wind and the water. And there are these feelings that come into words that you can only half understand. You don't have a brain in the sense that you used to. The end after the end after the end after the end. The start before the start before the start before the start. The middle, the middle, the middle. All of these things, these concepts are cycling in you as the wind cycles around this whirlpool, buffeting against the waves. And you feel the ocean and you feel frustration. And you feel like a ball bearing if you had a taut piece of fabric, a ball bearing sinking, pulling everything around it. In some metaphysical sense, you see a ship, a craft of some kind. You know these. These crafts, they sail amongst you, the air and the sea, often. You don't have a name for it, you've never known, but they are a part of you as everything that you pass through and everything that passes through you of Aphtos and Autoros are. And you feel that frustration. You remember some thing, pushing it down. In this state, there is a whirlpool, there is a drain, there is an irritating piece of sand in the mouth of a clam. What do you do?
I move them. I move the piece of sand.
You push it. You smooth it in through the waves. You feel yourself anchored to it. It's going to pull you down with it. What do you do with that anchor?
I think I follow it.
You follow it down. And you all on the ship, Arcos, Magnus, by now, the magic. You are no longer channeling the magic. Can you go ahead and give me a spirit roll?
That's Magnus and Arcos, or just Magnus?
Oh, just Magnus. I mean, if Arcos wants to roll to not be shaken, you can do that.
I'm good. I'm already not shaken.
I'm going to spend a Benny. Uh-huh. Okay. 7 to not be shaken.
Okay, so with a 7, the blast of magic kind of pushes you back. You're on your back on the floor. You don't see Winnie. You're still temporarily blinded. You don't know where the magic is coming from or going to, but whatever is happening is now happening on its own. And you feel the ship, Arcos. You feel a sudden jolt as the trajectory of movement makes a beeline curved straight toward the center, that hole, deep, clear. For a brief moment, you see the light of the sun reflecting on a blue sky above the eye. Ever so brief, as the ship turns and crests the edge of the drain and plunges deep, deep down. Minnie, as you feel yourself holding to that anchor, you feel stretched, holding on to the anchor of the ship. More magic and power flowing through your consciousness than you could comprehend. Your mind, your sense of self is being spread so, so widely. Can you roll me a spirit check?
God, I don't know if I've ever rolled spirit in my fucking life.
When he just doesn't get shaken.
I don't even know what...
Is the implication that, like, all of that power is from Magnus? Like, that's just what's... Or is there...
No.
Okay, so Magnus is channeling something besides his own power source.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm spending a Benny, just FYI. Okay. 8.
Okay. You feel a snap. And... pain. A headache. As your consciousness beginning to spread out through the cosmos, through Aphtos and Autoros, begins to recoalesce, and you are experiencing again, and you are moving toward the ship in some way, across some plane, in some manner, and you are pulled back from the infinity into your body. Arcos, you see gas and a puddle of water begin to unmelt and reform into a very exhausted Minnie lying on the ground as you all plunge through deep, dark water that is pulling you down to wherever this whirlpool ends.